Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
If you could do it, you wouldn't be worried about it. If I could handle this, I wouldn't have to worry about it. I already would have fixed it. So the fact that you're worrying about it is an admission. You're admitting the truth that I don't have the power to do anything about this. That's why you're worrying. Well, guess what? God does have the power to do something about it.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Psalm 46. Welcome, truth seekers. This is Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Mysteries, and welcome to another beautiful day under the Lord's care and another opportunity to see what God wants to do for you and teach you today. And we're excited about the study that we're in right now. I hope that you've gotten a chance to catch up with us as we are in the middle of a teaching that we've entitled, Don't Worry About Worrying. Don't Worry About Worrying. I started this series out last week, and if you missed it, we kind of introed the series, so I want you to go to truthinfusion.com, and that's our ministry website page at truthinfusion.com, and you look for the broadcasting page. It's easy to see right there at the top of the website. You click on broadcasting, and you're going to see very quickly last week's show posted for you. Click on that dude, and it'll stream to your computer, your phone, your iPod, iPad, whatever it is that you've got, and listen to last week's show, and then you can come back and listen to this one again. Hey, we want you to let people know about it. If you know somebody that struggles with worry or is going through some issue right now, and boy, it's really working them over, and I understand what that's like because I have been there. I'm not someone that's immune from this problem, and that's really the main reason why God has given me this teaching. I'll never forget when this came. I was to teach and lead a small group Bible study one Sunday night for our church. So I go home after church that Sunday, and God's already been putting a few things on my heart. Sit down at my desk, and God gave me this outline for this teaching about worry. You know, at that time, I wasn't going through anything that had me at a place of struggling with worry. I wasn't. I was free from worry at the moment that he gave me this teaching. So I go and teach it that night, and great response from that, and the Lord really moved. And the next week or two on a Sunday, I was a guest preacher at a church at a town nearby, and preached this sermon, Don't Worry About Worrying. And I had people come up and say, oh, I ministered to people in the altar that day that were strugglers with the idea and the concept of worry in their life every day. They said it. Boy, I just deal with this all the time. This was for me today. Little did I know that within the next 10 days or so, some things were going to begin to unfold in our family, and I was going to need every word of this message that God had given to me that I'd already preached and taught to other people. I began to soak it up for my very own need in the place of worry. So we all have these moments and these times where we struggle with this. And so here we are. Don't Worry About Worrying, show number two. And last week we dealt with this question, what is worry? Very important. You can't really begin to deal with a struggle, a problem that you're having, if you don't have a biblical view. What does God say about this? Because if you're looking at it through the world's eyes, you're going to start making excuses for your struggle. You're going to say, you know, I've got every reason in the world to worry about this problem, and this and this and this is going on, and anybody in their right mind would be worried about it. And you're going to let that problem hang around and keep a noose around your neck when you don't say what God says about it. So the first thing we had to tackle was this question: what is worry? And I showed you three different reasons last week why worry is sin. Really quickly, the first reason was because Jesus let us know that it is disobedient to worry. He told us in Matthew chapter 6, if you read between verse 25 and verse 34, just a few verses right there, 9 quick verses, it's the Sermon on the Mount. He begins to deal with worry. 3 times in this passage, he point blank says, do not worry. That is a command from the Son of God Himself directly to our lives. He commanded us. I told you that Greek right there is the prohibitive imperative. It is a command. Do not worry. And in my world, in my view of God's commands, if we disobey a command from God, we have sinned. We've sinned. The light at the end of the tunnel here, however, is that if God commands us not to do something, it must be possible to live in that, whatever it is. In other words, He's not going to give us a command that if we disobey that command, now we're in sin, and that command be something that is impossible for us to see true in our lives. Because on the cross, He defeated every sin. And disobedience is a sin, and He's given us everything we need to obey Him in every situation of our lives, even in the situation of worry. The second thing I showed you to help you see that worry was sin is the fact that when we give ourselves to worry, it changes the focus of our faith. It moves the focus of our faith from Jesus being our object of faith, in other words, that which we depend on or look to for our help and our resource and our power. And it shifts us believing in Him, having faith in Him for all of our answers, and it puts our focus on something else. When worry dominates our mind, we are now in a place where usually we're depending on us to have to figure out how to fix this. And the Bible tells me in Romans 14:23, that which is not of faith is sin. So when our object of faith shifts from Jesus Christ to anything else, we are now in the place of sin. And the third thing I showed you last week right before the show ended is that when we give ourselves to worry, we in essence become an idol worshiper. Now that seems pretty heavy, and here's why I can conclude that. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters." And I told you last week that concept, that word master, it is the concept of a person that is exercising ownership rights over you. You can't have two people that say they have absolute ownership rights over the same object. If I own the car and it is mine, you cannot own the car also. The car can only have one true and sole owner. Jesus or God the Father cannot be the owner of our lives, which when we say you're my Lord, that's exactly what we're saying. You're my master. You are the master. I am the slave. That is what we say when we come to Christ in salvation and say, be my Lord and Savior. We are saying you take complete ownership over me. Now, Jesus said you can't have two masters. So when worry or the circumstance and the situation you're in becomes the overwhelming, overriding master of your mind and your heart, you have allowed that thing to become your idol. You are now worshiping that worry or that circumstance and giving it your worship before you are giving it to Jesus Christ, who is the one that deserves it. And here's what I ended in saying last week. In essence, we began to trust in ourself for the answer when we say, how am I going to do this? What do I do now? I don't know how to handle this. I don't know what to think. I don't know where to go next. We start looking at self to be our answer and our resource and our power. And when that happens, I becomes our master. And that means that we are both the idol that we are worshiping and the idol worshiper at the same time. Boy, that is a difficult circumstance and situation for any of us to be, and the bottom line is that's sinful. Thou shalt have no other God before me. So the first thing we've got to know is that worry is sin. Here's the second thing, and this is what we're going to deal with in today's, that was just a quick review. What we're going to deal with in today's program as we move forward in this teaching is this question. The next question that God's going to give us some answers to is this: why not worry? Why not? It is easy for us to get into the circumstances of life, and I'm not minimizing the problems. I'm not saying the storm isn't a bad storm. Sometimes in life you're in the middle of that class 4 hurricane. That it's not a little tropical depression. The wind is blowing us about, and we feel like Paul said in 2 Corinthians, that the sentence of death is coming upon us. Those circumstances where I don't know that I'm going to make it out of here. I'm not minimizing the problem. But when the problem becomes our primary focus and the circumstance becomes our primary focus, it becomes maybe the unsaid concept in our heart and mind that we have the right, and anybody in our circumstances, our situation, our problem, our trial, our storm would be, everybody, you would agree with me right now that I've got every right to be worried and have anxiety over the circumstances. Who wouldn't? And when we begin to allow that to become our reasoning for how we should approach the problem, we may wonder, well, why not worry about it? Of course, this is, I've got all the reason in the world to be going past the level of mere concern and into the level of anxious worry. Why not worry? Well, if you were going through this, you'd be worried. Why not worry? Okay, so I want to make a statement. And inside of my statement, I'm going to give you a very short and sweet answer to the question, why not worry? And then I'm going to give you some scripture and take some time to break this down and to show you why this is a true statement for your life, even if you're going through that class 5 hurricane killer storm right now. Here we go. When Jesus said, do not worry, in Matthew chapter 6, His command, here's my statement, His command for us to not worry is based upon the most reasonable, rational, logical, common sense concept in the entirety of the universe. When Jesus said, do not worry, and you may be thinking to yourself, you're crazy. You don't have no concept of what I'm going through and what I'm looking at and what it might take for this to be okay again. I haven't been okay since I don't know when. And Jesus, you're telling me, do not worry. You're commanding me, do not worry. That seems like the most illogical, unreasonable thing any person could say to another person. Jesus, you're telling me not to worry when you know full well what I'm going through. And what I'm telling you, Truth Seeker, today is yes. And when Jesus commanded you, do not worry, He made the most reasonable, rational, logical, common sense concept of a statement in the entirety of the universe. It is absolutely reasonable that we should not worry, no matter what your circumstances are. Now, I want to show you why I think that is true. And to do that, I want to take you to 1 Peter in chapter 5. These are very familiar verses. I'm going to start reading it here in just a moment, and many of you could finish this and quote this before I even get done with it, okay? So familiar verses, but I want to show you some things inside these familiar verses that maybe you have not seen before, or perhaps I want to remind you of something you already know, because like one guy said, good preaching is 90% reminding Christians what they already know. So perhaps that's where we're going to be for you today. 1 Peter chapter 6, here's what we have in verse 6 and 7. It says, Peter said, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. And here's where I want to spend some time on verse 7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. And there's the part that's so familiar. Let me read that again. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. I want you to pay attention to the word care as it shows up two times in our English translation, because that's where we're going to spend some time in the next few minutes. Listen for the word care and where it shows up twice. Casting all your care upon Him, for He, God, cares for you. On the surface, appears like the word care is used two times, and in the English, it's the same word twice, so we perhaps may think that it's referring to something similar in those words. I want you to know right from the get-go of this explanation, these two words in the Greek are two completely different words and concepts. I wish that would have been translated a little bit better, because when I began to learn and understand what this verse is really saying, it had a large impact on how I viewed the Lord and how He responds to my needs. Okay? So I'm praying that as I give you a brief explanation of these two words, care, in this verse in 1 Peter 5:7, I hope for you also that it just opens up your heart and mind to exactly how much God's love for us, how big it is, and we'll make a few statements about that after this. So let's break down these two words, care. The first word, care, comes at the beginning of verse 7, cast all your care upon Him. Cast all your care upon Him. This is the Greek word, which in fact is what we would think it means. It means worry. It is the same Greek word, which is pronounced marimna, in the Greek. It's the same Greek word that Jesus used in Matthew chapter 6, three different times, really more than three different times He uses this word, worry, in Matthew chapter 6 when He tells us over and over, do not worry, do not worry, do not worry. Look at the birds, look at the flowers of the field. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. Don't worry. It's the same word in Matthew chapter 6 that Peter uses in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 when he says, do not worry. So let me make a couple of points right here. The word worry, the word anxiety, as far as this concept goes, same idea. And I mentioned last week that you can have a care about something. In other words, concern. Let me use that word. You can be concerned about something, about a problem. Maybe it's something in your life. Maybe it's something a family member or a friend is going through. You can be concerned and it not be this word right here, marimna, which means to worry. You can have concern and not be sinful and not be committing a sin. What's the difference? Because in the English, concern and worry can kind of be gray and mushed together. So let me divide this apart very easily. When your concern is not controlling your mind and your heart and your thought processes, you get wind or word of a trouble that a friend is having, and your heart begins to be burdened for that friend, and you go to prayer for that friend. You maybe call them and encourage them, and you know, you may shed tears with them, and it may be something that really is heavy on you. But when it comes down to identifying whether this issue is now overruling your mindset, you know that's not true. The Holy Spirit still has control of your heart and your mind right now. That's a concern that is probably God-given for you to spend time praying and ministering for that. Or if it's in your own life, it's a situation in your life and you're concerned about it, so you take it to the Lord and you and your spouse get together and pray about it, or you're praying with your kids, you're seeing what the Word says about the situation. But ultimately, God's in control of that still, and He's the one that you're still focused on. That's a healthy concern. It's okay. I'm not talking about that, and neither is Jesus when He says, don't worry, and neither is Peter when he said, cast all your care upon Him. Because this word, marimna, is that of the overwhelming, overriding, focus-stealing anxiety. And here's what He says, cast all of that stuff upon God. And this idea of cast is, it means to throw it. It means don't even hold on to it and carry it from where you are to God's feet and put it there. Don't even hold on to it long enough to walk over to the throne and lay it at His feet. Chunk it to God. Get rid of it. I'm talking about hot potato now. Hot potato, get it out of your hands. Throw it away. I don't know if you like to fish. Sometimes you go fishing and you put one of those artificial lures on your line and it's a pretty heavy one, or you've got a weight on there, and when you throw that thing and it vzzz, and boy, that thing just takes off and you can chunk that one so far. If you got something lightweight on there, you can't throw it nearly as far, but when you cast that which is heavy on the end of your line, you can throw it fast and you can throw it far. And this is what God's saying: cast that worry away from you. Don't wait. Do it now. Cast it to me, and do it in such a way that you don't reel it back in. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. How often have you thrown it and cast it at His feet? You've cast that lure, that problem, that weight, that burden to Him, and as soon as it lands there, you take a deep breath. Thank you, Lord, for letting me cast that, and then you reel that thing right back into where you are. You cast it back to Him, you reel it back in. You cast it back to Him, you reel it back in. Here's what He's saying: cast it at His feet and then cut the line. Leave it there. Permanently leave it with God. Now, that's where the sticking point is, because I'm all about throwing it to Him. But how do I leave it there? To understand how you leave it at His feet, you've got to grab a hold of the second word, care, on the second half of verse 7. Cast all your worries, all your anxieties upon Him, for He cares for you. This word, care, is a different word entirely in the Greek, okay? And here's what it really means. The concept here means that God has taken a uniquely special interest in your problem, because He has a focused, unique, and special interest in what's going on in your life. In other words, let me say this in a different way. He is so focused and interested in what's going on in your life, the burden that you're carrying, the circumstances, the storm, the issue of your life. God Almighty, the great sovereign creator of the universe, is so concerned. He's so focused. He's got such a special and unique focus on your life that it has become, now watch this, this is the kicker right here, it has become His full task to take care of your business. God has said, I am making it my business to take care of your problem. I've got such an interest, an invested focus in your problem, that I have determined it is my unique and special interest to handle your business. Now, when we understand God's concern, His care for us on that level, that He has determined, I'm going to take care of you. I'm so interested in you. I love you so much that I have a special view of your problem. And I've made it my business to take care of your issue. When we can grab a hold of that, you are going to understand now how it is possible to leave it at His feet. Because if you believe He's as big as He is and as capable as He is, and He is the one that has said, I've made it my business to take care of this. If God is concerned about it, then what's the point of you and I being concerned about it? If He is already going to deal with it, then what good is it for little old insignificant me to keep worrying about it? Let me finish with this. Just a few minutes left in this show. Why not worry? Because God is on the job. I'm going to give you four quick points, and we're going to end this show today. Four things I want you to remember when you think about the fact that God cares about your situation. Number one, He has perfect love. His love is perfect, truth seeker. That means this: He cannot give you second best love. God doesn't have throwaway love. He doesn't have peripheral love. He doesn't have generic form of love. His love is perfect. His love is awesome. His love is always 100% in your favor. He cannot give you second best. His love is perfect. Number two, he has perfect knowledge. What does that mean? He knows exactly what is happening. He knows exactly what you need. Nothing has slipped by him. No detail has gone unnoticed. He is more aware of the situation and all that it entails than you are. You're worried about it so much that you can't think of anything else. And I want you to know, as much as you're thinking about it, God knows more about it than you do. His knowledge about your issue and your needs is perfect. Number three, his power is perfect. He has the ability to do it. You don't. If you could do it, you wouldn't be worried about it. If I could handle this, I wouldn't have to worry about it. I already would have fixed it. So the fact that you're worrying about it is an admission. You're admitting the truth that I don't have the power to do anything about this. That's why you're worrying. Well, guess what? God does have the power to do something about it. And not only does he have the power to do something about it, but he loves you perfectly. He knows all about it, and he has the ability to do it. And number four, and most importantly, it ties all of those three that I've already listed together. The fourth one is this. He's promised us that he will do it. His love is perfect. His knowledge is perfect. His power is perfect. His promise is perfect. With that in mind, and Scripture backs every single one of those up, right and left, all over the place, with those four things being presently true about the situation that you're in, let me ask you a question. Why are you worried? Why are you worried? Cast your care upon Him. He has made it His personal responsibility to deal with your problem. He's going to do it His way, in His time, for His reason, but He will do it. And with that in mind, let's go back to our question. Why not worry? Because Jesus commanded us not to. And His command, do not worry, is the most reasonable, rational, logical, common sense concept in the entirety of the universe. What He has said He will do, He will do. Not one single promise in the history of mankind that God has given us has He ever allowed to fall to the ground. His perfect love, His perfect knowledge, His perfect power, and His perfect promises are going to answer the questions that you're struggling with. The worry is unnecessary. God is on the job. You don't have to worry about it. And neither do I. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Come back next week as we ask this question. How do I not worry?
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas, 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.